What you do is you do 3 to 4 training runs a week. 2 to 3 of them are relatively short, especially early on in the training season. I would go 2 or 3 miles one day, take a rest day, run another 2 to 3 miles, take a rest day, and then have a little bit longer run on the weekend. Well, this went on for several weeks, and I realized soon that my longer runs on the weekend, I was going to have to give more time for them. Because as I began to get closer, the mileage built up. I was supposed to be running 6, 8, 10, even 12 miles. That's a long time. Well, thankfully, where we lived in Portland, about 2 miles away was a golf course. It had a great walking track. It had bathrooms on one end. It was a 2-mile circuit. It had drinking fountains. The only problem was the killer ankle-biting squirrels. But they did motivate you to run faster. So on Sunday, during the week, it was really hard for me to get out there for those 3-mile runs. It was just enough to get your pace, and then you had to come home. Well, on the weekends, I enjoyed it, though. I'd run 2 miles. I'd get out there, get a drink, run the 2-mile circuit. And then later on, as my training went on, I would run several of those, run back. And I got to tell you, I got where I really enjoyed running 8 miles. You're like, I knew there was something off with you. But anyway, just one more confirmation. But nevertheless, it felt good. But I had to be strict. There were days I didn't feel like running. I did have to shift my schedule a little bit sometimes. But as a whole, I had to be strict. I had to keep going. I had to be single-minded. Even when the squirrels were chasing me, even when I saw a golf ball, I had to keep running around that track. I couldn't quit. I had to have stamina because I had a goal. And especially after I'd paid like the $70, there was no way I was going to quit then. And it helps me to have a goal, and it really helps if it's going to cost the bottom line. So the race day came. I rode the MAX train downtown. There were, I don't know, I think there were thousands of people. The Portland Marathon is great for several reasons. One, it's relatively flat. That's really a good reason. The other reason is they have about 60 different bands that play throughout the course. So about every half a mile, there's a music group. I remember starting out, I'm feeling good. It's about a mile into it. And here's this youth bell choir playing the Olympic anthem. Dun, 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 dun. They're like, oh, I'm feeling good. You know, and I kept going. You'd get to someone else, you know, the groovy old guy doing whatever. There was a Christian band. You could hear the name of Jesus for half a mile and the electric guitars and all this and all kinds of different groups. You'd have like this trio playing the violin and the cello. That was cool too because it gave you something to look forward to. Well, I got to the 13-mile mark, and honestly, I didn't quite train well enough because I'd never run more than 13 miles before, and you're really supposed to train 15, 17, 20 miles. But, well, I felt great. 13.1 miles, I'm feeling good. 13.11 miles. I started to get a little stiff, and I stayed stiff as a board for the next 13 miles. My goal was to finish in 4 hours. There was a group of people running, jogging. They have like Portland Marathon jogging clubs where, and they have like the guy who carries the sign for hours, you know, the 3-hour, 15-minute club, and some people ran with that. I was trying to chase the guy with the 4-hour sign, but there was no way I was going to do it. But 4 hours, 5 minutes later, I saw the finish line. My legs, my heart wanted to go faster. My legs wouldn't. They were just wooden at this point. Well, 4 hours and 5 minutes later, there was a finish line. Ding! Oh, it was so exciting. I had felt like quitting several times. But there were several things that kept me going. One, my $70. I wanted the t-shirt. I did not want to go through this pain again. I was going to finish that baby to say I'd done it once. Probably never again. And the belly dancers. Mile 17 or 18, I'd been running for 3 hours at this point. I was tired. Suddenly, the sound of cymbals and large ladies moving in all kinds of different ways. We rounded a turn and there they were. And someone hollered, "Are you ladies tired?" And they said, "We are exhausted. We've been doing this for like 2 hours, but we got to keep going to keep you going." And it made a big difference. We weren't alone. We had the belly dancers in our corner. You know, some of the runners had passed them 2 hours earlier, not me. And the thing was open for like, you had to finish in 8 hours. Those girls couldn't move for the next week. But they cheered us up. They were there. But I was like, okay, if they can dance for hours, I can keep plodding along. But it was so great. I crossed the line. They gave us a space blanket. I said, go get your t-shirt. I got my t-shirt. In fact, I still have it. I still have my little medal somewhere. It's in my crazy box with my costumes. But then it was, help yourself. I don't know how many ice cream bars. You know, I figured 4 hours of running, I'd burn some calories. It did not matter. I learned through that. I had to be strong. I had to have stamina. I had to be single-minded. I had to be strict. I wasn't as strict as I needed to be, but I had to keep going. I had chosen to embrace hardship. This was something I'd said, okay, I want to do this. Hardship is an interesting thing as believers because the scripture is full of things that say you will face difficulties. Maybe somebody, when they first shared about Jesus with you, said, hey, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. And you might have thought, oh, he's going to get me out of this fix. Oh, life will be easier. I won't have so many problems. Sign me up. Sins forgiven, heaven, this sounds great. But they might not have told you all the other things. They might have forgotten to say, if anyone wants to come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me. If you pick up your cross, it means you're going to die. That's what Jesus did. It's like, oh, that doesn't sound good. No one told me that. But Timothy also might have had some questions. He had heard about God. He'd seen it lived out in his mother and his grandmother. He had traveled with Paul on many missionary journeys. Now, Paul was in prison in Rome. He knew his death was certain. He was not likely to get out of prison alive again. But he had worked with Timothy, and he'd said, Timothy, you have a job. I'm passing the baton on to you. You have got to run with it. I have taught you everything I know about the Lord. I need you to pass it on to others. And not only was it Paul's idea, but the Lord himself had made clear to Timothy, he was God's man to share the word because it was so important that the message of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen, and coming again, got out. And so Paul is warning Timothy, you are going to face hardship. Embrace hardship. It's part of the package. Most folks, we like our comfort. We like ease. You ever seen people in the Walmart parking lot or Costco parking lot? They drive around for an hour to find a place a little closer. And you just feel like going, honk, honk, move it, move it. You know, I'm trying to get out of here. Or lots of people, we love to watch TV. You know, the remote control was the death of our society because then you can just sit there. The only thing you got to do now for exercise is go up and get more chips. And that's the extent of it. We like our comfort. We like our ease. But the notion of embracing hardship is a difficult one. And yet that is exactly the picture we are given in Scripture. And I have to say, at first glance, I'm not always thrilled with that notion either. I have a tendency to be lazy. I like things to be happy and nice. But that's not what we see. And this is truth. Now, it is true Christ gave his abundant life. He did come to give us peace. He did come to forgive our sins. He is preparing a great place for us one day in heaven. Oh, man, I can't wait. But in the meantime, there is some struggle and strife going on. But if you look throughout Scripture in Paul's writings, it is always worth it. He will say in Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul knew about suffering. Shipwrecks, beatings, jail time, people running out of town, trying to kill him, leaving him for dead. He knew about struggles. You know, when everyone in town tries to kill you, you know that you're not a popular guy. But he also knew he had done it for the sake of Jesus. He'd embraced hardship because that's what God had called him to do. And Timothy had been sent to pastor a church with some wild and crazy folks with some strange ideas, and he was going to have to face hardship as well. Well, let me read. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7, and then we'll pray. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Lord, as we are going to spend some time looking in your word, I want to pray that you would give us insight. We don't just want to understand the words. We don't just want to figure out the concepts. Lord, we want it to take root in our lives so that we will be able to carry it out. Lord, we know there is trouble in this world, but you say, take heart, I've overcome the world. And I thank you, Lord, that you will not allow anyone to be snatched out of your hand, those who belong to you. Give us understanding. Give us insight. Help us to carry it out. And Lord, may you give me the ability to explain things clearly. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Amen. A couple weeks ago, we looked at verse number 1. You then, be strong. But remember, it didn't end there. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had a tough job, but guess what? He does not have to be strong in and of himself. This is not a build your physical muscles. This is when you need help, Timothy, go to God. Talk to Jesus. Rely upon him. Be in his word, because you're going to need that strength. And as people of God, if we are to do what he called us to do, the Christian who embraces hardship is going to need strength. You're going to need to be strong. But be glad. It's not just you. It is not just you having to do it. It is our God himself, the author of strength, the one who came up with the idea, the one who has real strength is there to help you. And because Timothy's going to need this, because his job is to pass on the message. Verse 2, and the things you've heard me say, this is Paul speaking, in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men, will also be qualified to teach others. He's saying, be faithful. You have heard all the doctrines, Timothy. Now I want you to pass those on. There are going to be some people that want to hear. There are some people who don't. You've met that. There are some people you talk to, you interact with. You know right away whether or not they want to talk about God and about the Word and spiritual things. There are others it's like, meh, no thank you. But in this case, he's saying, find those folks who want to hear the Word of God. And give them the truth, the whole truth. And then have people who want to pass it on. I'm excited about Good News Club because these are children who want to learn. They are reliable young men and women. They are taking it in. I have seen and heard some of these kids then share with their friends, then invite their friends. This is cool. Sometimes I know you look at the world and you say, what's happening with these younger generations? Things are going crazy. Guess what? Here's an opportunity, Good News Club, for you to do something, to take what you know, even a little bit you know. You can share, you know more than a first grade kid who's never been to Sunday school in his life. You can pass that on to them. And amazing what God will do. Here's your opportunity. Pass it on. And Timothy, that's what he's to do. There's going to be a steep price to pay. It's going to be difficult. He's going to need strength for sure to do this. Another thing is he's going to need to be single-minded. Verse 3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. There were soldiers marching around where Paul was. There were soldiers all throughout the land. There were probably soldiers right outside his door. And the people were familiar with that imagery. You know, if I mention the Rogue River, you can picture it. When Paul said soldiers, they could picture them. And so he is going to give several examples. He's going to talk about soldiers. He's going to talk about athletes. He's going to talk about farmers. All people who have to do certain things if they want to reap the benefits later on. Paul is going to give illustration after illustration of different kinds of faithful workers in chapter 2. He's going to give an exhortation. He's also going to give encouragement. But he starts out talking about this soldier. He went into the Coast Guard Reserves at boot camp, and one of the recruiters told him, I hear you like to read. Yeah, there's a library on base. Well, it turned out, if you were a new recruit, you never got to see that library. There was another guy who showed up at boot camp with water skis and a fishing pole because the recruiter told him, you know what? Boot camp's on an island. You know what you can do on an island? You can water ski around it and you can fish around it. There's lots of fish. This guy thought that as a new boot camp recruit, he was going to get to fish and water ski. Boy, was he mistaken. Technically, it would be feasible to do those things, but not if you were a new recruit. These guys were dishonest, but they didn't care. They got that lung kid to sign up. Well, Paul is being very honest with Timothy. This is how it is. Jesus was very honest. We've talked about take up my cross. You will have trouble in this world. You know, if the world hates you, if you look at John chapter 15, I love the beginning of John 15, abide with me, connect with me, bear fruit. But then the end of John 15 is like, the world's going to hate you. Why? Because what did I do? Well, I love Jesus and they hate them. It's going to get difficult. But he's going to go on to say in John 16 and 17, but it's all right, I'm with you. I'm going to be there for you. He's given them an honest appeal. I remember in Cambodia struggling at one point. My health, I was having health problems. Had a little bit of conflict with our supervisor. This culture was bothering me. It was hot season. And I remember thinking to myself, I didn't sign up for this. We'd been burgled. I'd been bloodied. I'd been bounced, bruised, bumped, bashed. I'd broken my leg. Every part of my body hurt at some point there. I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't know it would be this hard. I kind of had my little pity party for a while. And okay, yeah, you're right, Lord. Okay. Well, what's some things about a soldier? No one serving gets involved in civilian affairs. Did you hear about the U.S. Army Ranger Battalion that set up the popsicle stand in Baghdad, try to make a little cash on the weekends? No, because that's not what they're going to do. Their job was to carry out the mission. The commanding officer said, do this, and that's what they did. So they're not trying to make a few bucks on the side. They're not trying to do some sightseeing. Especially in those kind of places, that is not a good place to do it. But what are they to do? Endure hardship. Soldiers, I understand, one of their favorite top things to do is grumble. And grumble about this, grumble about that. The food's no good, the CO's this way, the XO's this way, my boots, they go. Fred, is that true?
Yes.
Yes, and Fred can give you great grumble stories, but his job was not to like it. It was to carry out the orders to please the commanding officer. You know, even though that pretty girl says, oh, hey, over there. No, I got to keep going. I got to follow out. I got to do things. John Piper says, you know, sometimes we view prayer as an intercom for the maid to bring us refreshments in our easy chair. We're in a battle. It is to call and support for the battle on the front lines. A soldier's job is to fight. It is not an easy task. It is difficult. There are casualties involved. You know, in this case, this is not a volunteer army, because in a very real sense, those who are followers of Jesus have been called out by God. You were chosen from the beginning of time. You are me, my child. And yet there's a sense of response as well. There's this divine human partnership relationship. He calls us, we respond. But in a real sense, you are a conscript. You're kind of a volunteer, but really God is the one that got the ball rolling. And you signed up, whether you realized all the ramifications or not. And so it's going to be difficult. But is our God faithful? Yes, he is. Will he be with you? Absolutely. Will it be worth it in the end? Yes, it will. And guess what? We have the best commanding officer there ever could be. One who has been through everything we could ever imagine. One who knows the beginning from the end. One who can see the big picture. I love that it says, endure hardship with us. Paul is saying, Timothy, you're not all by yourself. You're not all alone. You've got the community of believers. You may have seen in your bulletin today, the church around the world, read that. There are some good things going on. There are some difficult things going on. Some people around the world are having struggles. We're having struggles. We're all in this together. We all are called to embrace hardship for Jesus. We want to make it our goal to please him. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your fellow recruit says. You want to hear your sergeant, your direct supervisor say, good job. And that's what we're going for. Remember, we live in the world. We don't fight as the world does. We don't fight with the weapons of the world. We're to put on our spiritual armor because there is a spiritual battle. We can never forget that. We're to be single-minded. Another thing is, in verse 5, we are to be strict. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. When I was running the marathon, I could have ducked in an alley and stolen the motorcycle and driven to the 22-mile mark and waited for the really fast guys to get like 2 miles behind me and then sprinted ahead. Guess what? I would not have won. If you were to be an elite athlete, you just don't get out of bed and say, I'm going to the Olympics. Some people are more athletic than others, and some may have a chance at it. But back in this day in the Olympics, the competitors had to swear before the altar of Zeus, I have trained at least 10 months. I have followed the rules. You know, if you're an athlete and the gun goes off, if you start running before the gun goes off, if you're doing the long jump and you step over the line, if you catch the ball out of bounds, if you try to argue and get 5 strikes, it's not going to happen. You will not get the prize. You will not win. There are certain things you must do, and God's word is clear. This is what you're to do. This is how you're to carry things out. It's not your job to pick and choose. I like this part of the Bible. I don't like this part of the Bible. There are a lot of people these days. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of organizations. We think we know better than God. I know what God's word says, but this is how I'm going to interpret it. That doesn't fly. They are not going to win the prize. They are going to be disqualified. And Timothy doesn't want to be disqualified. I don't want to be disqualified. I hope you don't either. Because, man, the prize God has got for us is far better than a Burger King beat-up old crown that's been in the church basement for 20 years. Let me tell you, it is going to be fabulous. It is going to be amazing. But if we quit, if we take shortcuts, you know, instant spiritual growth. You know, I drank it in my coffee this morning. It didn't, no, there's no such thing. If you want to grow to be more like Jesus, you're going to have to spend time with him. Remember back when you wanted to get to know that special someone? You had to spend time with them. If you were far apart from them, you had to write letters like crazy. Call them. If we want to become like Jesus, it takes effort. It takes exertion. And we also have to do it his way. We can't cheat. And we can't quit. Because remember, the goal is to win the prize. 1 Corinthians 9, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. And Paul says, therefore, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. I beat my body. I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified. He didn't want to finish poorly. I don't want to finish poorly. I want to complete the task God has given me. I'm not sure what task God has given you. You need to talk to him about that. I know the task is to grow and become more like Jesus. He's also got good works for you to do. He's also given you spiritual gifts, and you want to be carrying them out. But our goal is to win and play according to God's rules. And the great thing is God doesn't write arbitrary ones. He doesn't come up with 1,000-page documents that he does have a 1,000-page document, but not like our government leaders who every other page is conflicting and confusing and no one reads and no one wants to pay attention to. It is for our good because he knows what's going on. What we need is the mindset is, I'm going to run this race. Lord, give me the strength to do so. Help me to be strict in my training. Help me be single-minded in my goal. Because remember, we're not running for a t-shirt or the plodding of the crowd or anything else. We're running for his well done. Well, one other thing. So we get to verse 6. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Farmers need to be steadfast. Steadfast. And steadfast, if someone is steadfast, they are doing something because they're convinced that it's going to pay off in the end. They need stamina. Stamina is the sense of physical or mental energy needed to carry out a task for a long time. Farmers plant things and then they have to wait. I've lived in farm territory before, and farmers work hard, even in the off season. They are fixing things. They are ordering things. They are keeping the weeds cleared. They're disking the fields. They are getting ready to sow and then to reap. And when it's finally time to reap, you know, even if you're driving around in a $500,000 self-leveling combine for 14 hours, you are exhausted when you do this day after day after day. But when Paul was talking about farmers, he wasn't talking about mechanized agriculture. He's talking about a guy behind his plow for 14 hours a day or however long it took. Exhausting hard work. And the farmer, you know, if he's planting a seed, he can't turn around. Oh, I wonder if it's growing yet. Oh, no. Next day. Oh, I wonder if it's growing yet. No. He knows he's got to wait. If he's ever to taste anything, if he's to have anything to eat the next year, he has got to keep going. He's got to be steadfast. He's got to have stamina in order to reap that prize. You know, a farmer's life is kind of boring compared to perhaps an athlete or a soldier. Soldier, you got the adrenaline rush of battle, and then you got 99% boredom, 1% terror, I guess they say. An athlete, though, you know, you're running, the crowds are cheering, everything's great. Even if you're a curler, I guess people get excited. You at least get on TV, that's cool. And you get a fancy jacket with your country name on it. We talk about hometown heroes, our policemen, our firemen. We forget, I'm the guy that made your food. And they work hard for it to happen. But ministry's hard at times. We don't know, you know, you can pour yourself out. Sometimes I complain to Kim, I'm doing all these things, and then people go away and never even say goodbye. It's like, I have feelings too, you know. If you're unhappy, come talk to me. Just don't fall off the planet, please, because I know you still live around here. You know, and it's partly, you know, Pat, we've got to deal with that kind of thing. Things happen, but it is hard. We got to keep pressing on. We don't see instant results in ministry. Maybe you've been praying for your spouse. Maybe you've been praying for grandkids. Don't give up. It doesn't usually work. Oh, Lord, help them to come to their senses. Bonk, bonk. And, you know, they don't wake up and, oh, you're right, Mom. Grandma, you're on the money. You know, that doesn't usually happen. Usually they got to stumble, fall in the hole, and then you come alongside and help them out. But it takes time. It takes time. But, you know, if the soldier, he's got to fight before he's got to finish. You're going to have... The athlete has got to work hard before they have victory. They have to train before they get that prize. The farmer's got hardship before the harvest. You know, but the soldier keeps going because they believe that this is what God would have them to do. The athlete keeps running because there is an end goal. The farmer believes that, Lord, you're going to take care of this. And as believers, we too. The task God has given us, we got to keep trucking. Verse 7, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. I think what he's really saying is mull it over, chew on it, reflect on it. You ever gone to Max and they give you that bubble gum? It tastes great for the first minute. You know, you're chomping along all that sugar rush, that bright pink. But after about 3 minutes, it's like you're chewing on a pink and it tastes like almost glue and it's just not exciting anymore. But I think what Paul is telling Timothy is, listen, reflect on what you're saying. The more you reflect on this, instead of like gum that gets worse over time, the better it's going to get. Because again, as we seek to understand God's word, the Holy Spirit, the one who gives understanding, says, let me help you understand. I have not learned much spiritual truth just laying in bed staring at my Bible. The Lord doesn't give me insights into certain passages in Genesis when I just sit there half asleep. But when I open it up, I've gotten to passages where I say, Lord, what in the world is this about? What does this mean? Why is that there? When I wrestle, when I mull it over, when I think about it, it's amazing. The Lord comes in and says, let me give you some help with this one. Paul has encouraged him, reflect on this. And he's going to need to in days to come. Because like a soldier, like a farmer, like an athlete, there's a lot of hard work. It's difficult. And he may forget. Now, why am I working with these people in Ephesus? All they do is wackiness. All they do is... And he's going to have to come back. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because faithfulness now is going to lead to future rewards. Okay, Lord, you're going to carry it on to completion. You're not done with them. You're not done with me. It's going to work out okay. Reflect on this. I have got to come back to this numerous times. You know, don't be weary in doing good, for you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. You know, why do we go through this? Why should you embrace hardship as a believer? You've been called to it, but it's also a privilege. You have been given the opportunity to partner with the living God in a cause that will not fail, in something that will be echoed through eternity. If you have not put your faith in Christ, that will not be the story. And let me encourage you, come before God, acknowledge your need for Him, say, I need a Savior. My sins are between me and you. And then He will pour His grace out upon you. He will give you purpose. He will give you help. Because face it, life is hard whether you follow God or not. But it can be good in the midst of the hardship if we're following after Him. None of us may look forward to difficulty. None of us may naturally be inclined to embrace this. But keep in mind, Timothy, keep in mind us. There's difficulty now. There'll be glory down the road. suffering, salvation, God's presence now and for eternity. And at the end of the day, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant, you made it. I crossed the line. I got the shirt. I've never looked back and said, I shouldn't have done that. I have always said, I am so glad I kept going. I didn't quit. I didn't get sidetracked. I didn't cheat. But with God's help, kept on moving forward. And that's the story for today. The task is difficult. God is with you. It'll be worth it in the end. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, it still speaks today. Help us, oh God, to grab onto you. Grab onto us. We need your strength. Help us, oh Lord, to be single-minded where we want to please you. We want to seek you first, the kingdom of God and your righteousness first of all, and then you'll take care of the rest. Help us to be strict, not legalistic, not nitpicky, but Lord, disciplined where our goal is to seek you. Help us, oh Lord, to have the stamina and the steadfastness, even when the going gets rough. Thank you, Lord, we're not in this alone. We have our brothers and sisters in you to help us keep going. And thank you, Lord. It was worth it for Paul. It was worth it for Timothy. It was worth it for all the other saints. And even for you, for the joy set before you, endured the cross, scorning and shame, and it was worth it all. And we will give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.